You are locked in to Locked On Badgers Tuesday episode a bit later in the day because I was supposed to drive all day today. That didn't happen because of some unforeseen complications, but I am driving all day tomorrow on Wednesday, which means I'm recording this episode for you a little later than usual. My name is Asher Lowe. I am the site editor at BadgersWire.com, a play-by-play broadcaster, and of course your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast. Every single day, Monday through Friday now, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Badger fans of all ages to 5 days a week as we get ready for the Badger football season, which is just 11 days away. We're going to get you very ready for week one of Big Ten football on this crossover episode with the Third and Run podcast. My friend Ben Kenny joins. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com, the best prices, the best selection for all the car parts you could ever dream about at RockAuto.com. Let's hop right into it. Also, last thing, if you could drop a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be a huge help. Got a review yesterday that was an awesome, awesome one. And so anytime I see those positive compliments, anytime I see some constructive criticism, I love that from listeners. Know you guys are listening and out there and thinking about how to make Locked On Badgers better, a better experience as we get ready for game day and game week, which is coming up in just a bit. Ben, welcome back.
Asher, what up? We're actually 10 days away from Badgers opening night.
We are.
Release. You're right. It's on the Friday.
The 23rd. Most of these games we're going to talk about, though, we're 11 days away from, but you are right.
Right.
10 days away from Wisconsin football. You're right.
I know. It feels real. It feels real. We're watching college football all Saturday. Like, it finally feels real. I could say that we're 10 days away from actually waking up on a Badger game day, which I never thought, like, this day would actually come.
We got a lot of game day talk on this episode, too, but we'll start – and we got that game day talk just to tease to you guys. We have our second ever draft episode here on the Lockdown, or segment here on the Lockdown Badgers podcast. We're going to be drafting, Ben and I, our favorite game day traditions, and there's a lot of ways that you can slice that category. I mean, we can do things that everyone does, things that just we do. We'll get into it. Don't worry, it's going to be fun, and we'll put that on Twitter as well to see who wins. The last one was very close, Ben. I don't know if you saw how close the draft was, but you did win 51-49 when we drafted Best Bars in Madison.
Yeah, I did see that. The public got it right. And we can
also
leave it
got
at
a
that.
Lot of hate from the old crowd, like the old people were not happy. And listen, I love all ages of listeners on this podcast, but I can imagine there is some divide between you and I and our generation and the older generation of Madisonians and Wisconsin alums. Let's hop into Big Ten week one. We're gonna do schedule superlatives like I did yesterday on my own for Wisconsin schedule. We're gonna do that this time for the Big Ten week one schedule, because we want to get you ready for everything Big Ten this week or this next week, not just Wisconsin football. We're going to do best game, most likely to turn the TV off, the most Big Ten style football game. What's going to have just punts galore, runs galore, a lot of fourth and ones that you give to the fullback. Overreactions, upset alert, those are our five categories. We'll start with the best game of the week, which is Ben.
Well, I'm going to talk about this game again later, but it's Michigan and it's Minnesota. And I think this is the clear choice, first of all, because you have a Minnesota team coming off a really impressive season last year. They tied with the Badgers for top spot in the West, obviously lost the tiebreaker, and they're going up against Michigan, who has a new quarterback. You know, everyone always talks about Michigan as with Harbaugh as the team who can't really figure it out in the Big Ten East. Obviously, this year is different in every way, but if Michigan can beat Minnesota week one, you really see them on that path. But in terms of pure football, I think this is the best game of the week.
I don't know if I'm, you know, crazy to say this about that game, which I agree it's the best game of the week. But for some reason, something in me feels like the pressure's on Michigan. And I don't really know why. Like Minnesota probably has the better team on paper. They're at home. Yet something about the Harbaugh era that it's just this inevitability feeling of like, is it going to get better? If not, it's going to come to an end soon. Like, I feel like the end is inevitable right now with the Harbaugh era in the next couple of years if things don't turn around really quickly. And this feels like a year where Michigan has to be good. And I just getting off to an 0-1 start for either of those teams obviously would be a big problem. But for Michigan, I just feel like there's a sense of urgency there right now where they have to turn this – and to say turn it around, it's not like they've had losing seasons. Like, the bar is set so ridiculously high, right? And is that fair? I thought about this yesterday on the podcast a little bit, actually. Like, is that fair that Michigan is just held to Ohio State's standard? I mean, probably not. But at the end of the day, you got to win football games. And going 0-1 as a Michigan team that then has Wisconsin a couple weeks later, does not bode well.
Right, and I'm gonna get into this in a little bit in one of the other categories. But in terms of, you know, how people think about Harbaugh if he loses, it really comes down to the quarterback, where they've had the roster, they've had the NFL talent, they've had the talent everywhere to be a good team, and we've seen that, you know, on both sides of the ball. The thing they just haven't solved is the quarterback. So they have Joe Milton coming in, and if he's the guy at that position, that's where I think, even if they don't win the East, which is a super tall task with Ohio State and Penn State there, if he can figure out the quarterback position, I think that's when people will kind of turn around. But pure football, if you look at your television screen and you see two teams with little rank numbers next to their name, that's when we're talking about the best football game of the week.
That is this game. Absolutely. I think we all agree on that. Big Ten Land agrees on that. Most likely to turn the TV off. I'm going to start with this one because I love this take. So if you've listened to Locked On Badgers in the last month, you know that I absolutely despise the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And you are going to be turning this game off about 7 minutes into the first quarter. Why? Because the score is going to be 21-0 Ohio State. This is going to be an absolute demolition derby on both sides of the football. This game is going to be so over by halftime, you will not want to watch the last 30 minutes of football. Ohio State by 40 in week one.
Well, Asher, counterpoint, what if you want to watch a game where Northwestern loses by 50? So you're talking about motives there.
Where Nebraska loses by 50. You know, I want to watch it. I'll be watching that right. Third quarter. I'll be watching that fourth quarter. I'll be loving it. I'll be live tweeting it. I mean, when Ohio State goes up 58-7, I'll be live tweeting that touchdown. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
No, that's what.
But the rest of the nation, I'm not turning the TV off. Why you wouldn't want to watch two completely mismatched teams on the same football field. I can get that.
Right. Yeah, I'm with that. I understand. You can also list, you know, if you can go the other direction and list the Rutgers, Michigan State as two of the not as good teams in the conference. But they're both kind of intriguing with new coaches. You have Greg Schiano.
Hey, Greg Schiano, you know, second stint.
Yeah, but he's trying to build something there. You have Mel Tucker at Michigan State. For me, it's easy. It's Maryland and it's Northwestern, just because of the pure level of football that's on the field. And while they might be evenly matched teams.
And it's at Ryan. I mean, not pretty.
Me personally, not a fan of watching Northwestern play football, just in terms of the level. But if you're just talking about the game where you turn on your TV and you might have another, you know, Big 12 game where the teams aren't good either, but at least they don't play defense and they score. This is the game where you turn on your TV and you watch the product in the field, and it's not as appealing as watching Nebraska lose by 55.
Is it bad that I'm kind of excited to watch Rutgers a little bit, like just a little bit? Aaron Cruikshank, I want to see him back in action, former Wisconsin Badger who's now at Rutgers, and Greg Schiano back in his second stint. There's some energy there. There's a little energy
there. And the Northwestern transfer quarterback. The Indiana transfer quarterback. Greg Schiano is just that kind of story that he can draw you to an inferior football team, you know. But yeah, it's Maryland, it's Northwestern. Because the game in the grand scheme of things, it's not gonna mean very much. You could look at the Michigan State Rutgers, that's about which program is getting on the right track.
Rutgers has a little bit of energy finally. It's the first time in a while that they have that injury or that hype, that kind of gumption around them. And I feel like Greg Schiano has brought back some level of energy there. So I'm excited to see them play this year. Third category, the most Big Ten of all these football games. Well, it's going to have just some awesome punts, some electric runs, some fantastic blocks.
Absolute layup. And you could talk about Rondale Moore.
I know what you're going to say. Yep.
You could talk about the guys that Purdue have on offense, and they're good, and they're going to have talent. They're going to be explosive at times, but it's Iowa against Purdue. First of all, for the fact that it's Iowa, and Iowa, like Wisconsin, always plays a Big Ten game, no matter what. And then you have Purdue. They're getting a lot of people back from injury, but the way that these two teams match up, both on paper and on the field, just visually, I'm thinking about it, it's two teams where you look, first of all, you look at the TV screen and you have Iowa and you have Purdue, which are just two very Big Ten schools. People think of the Big Ten when you say those schools. And then you consider the fact that Iowa brings in a new quarterback. They're going to try to run the football, you know, just the way that they play defense, the way that they play football against Purdue. We're talking about punts. We're talking about low scoring field goals, maybe a Rondale Moore big play to break it open. But throughout the game, that's the Big Ten game of the week for me.
Just a quick correction on that Rutgers former – or the former Nebraska QB as he transferred to Rutgers, Noah Vedral. So Nebraska. We'll see, yeah, we'll see, you know, insert a relevant Big Ten school here. But
right.
It was a Nebraska QB, Noah Vedral, who transferred, just to get that right for the listeners. I'm going to go – speaking of Nebraska, I'm not going to go to Nebraska here, actually. Definitely not. I'm going with Maryland and Northwestern. It's going to be absolutely ugly, as you've already said, with your most likely to turn the TV off game. Northwestern always plays Big Ten football, and I think this year will be no different. That Northwestern offense is going to be – I mean, if it's anything like last year, it'll be absolutely despicable to watch. Hopefully it's nothing like last year just for my eyes' sake when I turn on a Northwestern football game. And Maryland, I honestly don't know what direction Maryland is headed in right now. It's going to be an ugly football game. It's going to be a very Big Ten football game and all the beauty that is in the ugly of the Big Ten conference sometimes. Overreactions. What game is going to cause – I mean, I know I'm going to come over here and overreact when Ohio State whoops Nebraska, but – what game is going to cause an overreaction in the media based on the result or how a team looks?
Right. Media or fans for this. And I alluded to this earlier, but it's also Michigan against Minnesota. We're first on the Michigan side. If they lose, Joe Milton plays poorly. That's the overreaction of what is Harbaugh doing? What is this team really going to be going forward? Because if they can't beat Minnesota, they're not going to be able to win their division. But then if Michigan wins and Joe Milton looks impressive, that's the overreaction of, oh, Harbaugh has it figured out. He could be a player in the East this year. Then you go over to Minnesota, similar deal, just more in terms of whether they're going to continue last year. Of if they beat Michigan and look really good, then that's a team you say, oh, yeah, they're really at the Badgers level in the West, and last year wasn't an anomaly. But if they lose, you overreact and say, you know, last year might have just been lightning in a bottle. They might not really be that team.
I wish I could disagree with you here because it makes for better podcasting, but I absolutely cannot because this is very clear. This is the game that will cause overreactions on either side. Whoever loses this football game, the sky will be falling. It's an 8-week season, shortened season, two teams with expectations. I think Minnesota's maybe slightly higher, but the fan base of Michigan is so delusional that I don't know if that's true. I'm serious.
I'm going to get into that later as well.
Whoever loses this football game, the sky is falling for that coach, for that offense, right? And Joe Milton is the bigger question than Tanner Morgan, and that's why I do think Minnesota will probably win this football game. Joe Milton is the bigger question for sure. But absolutely, if PJ Fleck loses this game, if Jim Harbaugh loses this game, it doesn't matter which one, it's going to be a disaster for that fan base. Especially, I mean, on Twitter, that fan base is going to be absolutely losing their minds. We'll move on to our last superlative of the Big Ten Week 1 schedule. Who's on upset alert, Ben? Do you have anybody on upset alert this week?
So while I would like to ruffle feathers and say Illinois at Wisconsin, I wrote recently yesterday that this is the game, the Illinois-Wisconsin game is the game on their schedule that they are least likely to lose because of what happened last year, everything coming in. They're going to be buttoned up. It'll be their first game. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying Penn State and Indiana. And this might be a popular pick, but you have Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback for Indiana. This is a team that went 8-5 last year, 5-4 in the Big Ten. They're rising in the East. They're obviously not even close to the Ohio States of the world. But this is a game where they have Penn State at home. Obviously, there aren't fans. But this is like a sneaky game where if Indiana and I – pick them to finish above Michigan in the East this year. This is a game where if they're really going to do that, they either keep close and surprise people or they win outright. So Penn State's on upset alert. Micah Parsons didn't come back. They still have a great team, but this is just a scary game. Honestly, Indiana's scary for everyone this year.
So I'm going with a game that I think would be a big upset. We don't have Vegas lines yet, unfortunately. We'll get into that on Locked On Badgers next week when we have full betting lines out. I'm going to give a pick for every single Big Ten game all year, actually. It's a thing I'm going to do here on Locked On Badgers, a betting pick against the spread. Here's one I like outright. I think Rutgers could walk into Michigan State and shock the world in Week 1. And here are a couple reasons why. Greg Schiano doesn't know where he's going with the quarterback position right now. He's actually on record saying, I literally have not had enough time to evaluate them. I have no idea where I'm going. Does that sound good? No. But here's what he's going to do because of that. He's going to play multiple guys. And I think one guy is probably going to stick. Is it going to be Vedral, the Nebraska transfer? We don't know. Is it going to be Snyder? We'll see. I don't know who it's going to be for Rutgers at that position, but it's going to be multiple guys in week one. And like I said, I think one guy will put some drives together, will make some things happen. And I like the way Greg Schiano has come to Rutgers much more than I like the way Mel Tucker has come to Michigan State.
Absolutely.
Michigan State is the better football team on paper, but the circumstances in which Mel Tucker came to Michigan State, right, leaving Colorado when he promised them he wouldn't, you know, talking to recruits, and I have some knowledge of this, talking to recruits that he thought or that thought he was going to stay at Colorado and he didn't stay at Colorado with those guys and he left to Michigan State. That whole situation was a mess, and I don't know if it gets solved in year one at a new place for Mel Tucker. Not to mention, Mel Tucker hasn't exactly won at the highest level.
Right. Anyway, and I would argue, I don't know. I don't think that Michigan State is the prohibitive favorite here. I think this is a game that's
at home. I know there's no fans, but.
I mean, one, home field advantage is not anything close to what it normally is.
You don't need
to be
favored by a touchdown. You don't need to be favored by a touchdown in this game.
No, I think it'll be less. I think it'll be less because of how different Michigan – I mean, we know Michigan State is that program, you know, that's won the Big Ten, that's gone to the college football playoff. They're usually up there in the East. This is a program that's really fallen off. Now they welcome in a new coach, a new quarterback. There's so much turnover where I don't really think people are going to value them highly enough to put them way above Rutgers, where even if Rutgers wins, I don't think it's a big surprise.
I hope Rutgers plays three quarterbacks, and I hope they win the football game. That's my upset prediction of week one. Then, before we move on to competitions with the recruits in the Wisconsin 2021 and 2022 class, some awesome stories to tell you guys about what's going on Twitter. If you guys haven't seen all this recruiting stuff with Wisconsin, there's some names you should know if you don't already know them, and there's some stuff going on with those guys that you should know about, and we'll tell you all about it in just a sec. But first, I'm going to tell the people about rockauto.com. The best place to go for any auto part you could ever need with any make and model at rockauto.com. You log on to Rock Auto. On that left side of the website, you see every single year of every car you could ever imagine. You find that part, and the best part about when you find it is that it's much cheaper than any other person that sells auto parts. It is wholesale prices. You compare it to places like AutoZone, O'Reilly's. It is so much cheaper, and they actually give you on the website a comparison head-to-head with just how much money you are saving if you go to rockauto.com, a family-owned business and a business that supports Locked On Badgers. And if you go to rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you, that would do a great deal for both of us. So head to rockauto.com if you need any auto part at all. The place to get it is rockauto.com. Rock Auto, Rock Auto. You already know, Ben Stevens jingle time. Locked On Big Ten shout out. Jumping into competitions with the recruits. So when I say that, competitions with the recruits, here's what I mean. Braylon Allen, we've had him on this podcast, I think twice, maybe even three times. Al Ashford, who we've had on this podcast, and we broke that whole story about his insane, insane decision to commit to Wisconsin. And I say insane because of how it went down. If you haven't listened to that episode, please, if you could do one thing for this podcast, I would recommend it being going back to listen to that episode. Not because I do anything cool. I basically just shut up the whole time, which is why it's the best episode of all time, because it's just Al Ashford, who is an amazing speaker and an amazing person, talking about his story. So go back and listen to that episode. Braylon Allen and Isaac Ham, who are two guys. Braylon is a Wisconsin commit in the class of 2021, recently reclassified. Isaac Ham is a 2022 defensive end out of the state of Wisconsin. He has not committed yet. They're going at it in a squat off. And what Isaac Ham said on Twitter is that if Braylon Allen does more squats than him and more bench press reps than him, Isaac Ham will commit to Wisconsin. Is he serious? We don't really know. Is it awesome? Absolutely. It's super awesome. And this actually started even before that competition with Al Ashford, the guy we've had on this episode, a class of 2021 Wisconsin commit, defensive back out of Colorado, and Marcus Allen, who is a receiver that recently decommitted from Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines, who has not committed anywhere yet after that decommitment. They're going at it in Madden. They're playing a little Madden 21, and Al Ashford's dog, like, he tweeted out that Al Ashford tweeted out that his dog ate his, like, Wi-Fi cord or something, so they couldn't play, so the game's getting postponed. But when they do play, if Ashford beats Marcus Allen, Marcus Allen, or Al Ashford said Marcus Allen will commit to Wisconsin, the wide receiver who decommitted from Michigan. Is that true? Once again, I don't really know. But are they going to live stream a Madden game and is it going to be awesome? Absolutely. If Al Ashford's dog doesn't keep eating his Wi-Fi cords. So, Ben, bringing you back in here, I just love what this is doing for Wisconsin football. Like, it's so much fun to watch on Twitter. The fans are engaged with it. And whether or not this is super serious, you got to feel like Isaac Ham and Marcus Allen are going to be Badgers because of this kind of thing, right?
Right. Well, I'll start with this. If I was graded, if my football ability was graded off my Madden skills, I probably would go D1. I'm just going to get out in front of that take there. Not a fan of the new Madden game.
Maybe we got to live stream a Badgers Wire game of Madden.
Right. No, but second, I mean, it's awesome to see, first of all, because Twitter and the whole Twitter recruiting age is obviously still young. And it's interesting to see how both the Badgers and other schools have really capitalized on that, where we've seen Deacon Hill and a bunch of guys, TJ Ballers and Braylon Allen, tweeting at recruits, you know, trying to lure them to Wisconsin, connecting with recruits through that, where this is an advantage that schools can really use, or players, to get to improve their classes, to get more players to come. But also, just from a pure, you know, outsider perspective, if we're talking about fans of the Badgers, it's awesome to see, you know, the personalities come out where before Twitter and before all social media, you know, the players that were playing college football, you probably wouldn't connect with them nearly as well. But now if you see one Badger commit, one potential commit, you know, a recruit that's still out there battling in Madden, I mean, that's when you see the personalities come out, and that's when you really, you know, grow a connection to the players that are coming before they even get to the program. So I love it. I'll do an in-depth film analysis of the game afterwards, put that up on Badgers Wire. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's fun. It's just fun.
It is a lot of fun. That's why it's getting me to smile right now while I record this. Like, I love this idea. I love the energy around it. I love what Braylon has brought to this class and recommitting to 2021, but still committing himself to helping recruit other 2022 guys, which was Braylon's original class. We've had him on this show a couple of times. Just a great guy, a great representative for the University of Wisconsin, and a guy that is helping to bring in more talent, much like Deacon Paya Hill did before him in 2021. It's awesome. I can't wait for this game to happen. But Braylon Allen and Isaac Ham have already posted their videos, and Braylon was beasting. Isaac Ham said he's going to do the squats on Thursday, I think I saw. But if you guys haven't checked out Braylon's video on Twitter of his bench press reps and his squats, go check it out. Let's just say that Isaac Ham has a long way to go. He's got to put on a great performance to get to that level, because Braylon absolutely killed it. And maybe that will lead to Isaac Ham committing to Wisconsin. We don't really know how serious that all is, but whatever it is, it's awesome. So, Ben, we are going to hop in to our second ever draft on the Locked On Badgers podcast. And for listeners that didn't listen to our first one, here's what the draft is. We're going to do three picks each. We get three picks each, and we have a category that is related to Wisconsin football in some way. It snakes back, so Ben gets the first pick, I get two, Ben gets two, I get one. And this category today, our first category was a lot of fun. We did bars in Madison, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. Today's category is game day traditions. But there's a couple caveats. It does not have to be something that everyone knows about. Like, it doesn't have to be jump around, right, or buttercup or whatnot. It can be. It doesn't have to be. It could be very personal to you, or it can be very communal. That's what I wrote in our notes. Either, you know, personal or communal. It's all accepted here in this Badgers Wire, this Locked On Badgers draft. It's time to get into it, Ben. Your first pick for your favorite Wisconsin game day tradition. And will you be doing it, by the way? You have to also say, is it something you'll be doing on game day, or is it something that with COVID and all that has been taken away from us?
Well, I will preface this in saying no, because I've changed in life a little bit, you know, from a student now to a member of the media, where I'm watching and or going to the games, covering them. And this isn't going to land with everybody, but if we're talking about the most pure Wisconsin football tradition you can think of, it's an 11 a.m. kickoff. The best tradition is the wake up 6:15 to 6:30 a.m. shower beer, where it's an early wake up. You know, you're trying to get excited for the game, and it's the shower beer. It's the shower beer to get the day going, and it's a shower beer that hopefully, you know, leads to a victory on the football field. That's the one that sticks to mind. Not going to land with everybody, but I know a lot of people that are listening and that know what I'm talking about know exactly why it's the number one pick.
Well, after losing the first draft, I'm going for the win today. And that's why my number one pick, my number one pick on my big board is Build Me Up Buttercup. The most underrated game day tradition at Madison, because it just doesn't get the hype that Jump Around gets for some reason. But there's nothing like that feeling, that tingling in your body, that goosebump feeling when the crowd, when the student section finishes Build Me Up Buttercup after the music goes off. That 15 seconds, that chorus, exhilarating. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It is my favorite part of any game day, that 15 seconds where the music shuts off and we just keep singing that song. It's perfect. You also don't know when it's coming, which I like a lot. A Jump Around, there's a lot of anticipation, right? We're getting to it in the end of the third quarter. Okay, it's coming, it's coming. You know, fifth quarter, we know when that's coming after the game. With Buttercup, it just happens. I just put it on the loudspeaker. You don't know when it's going to happen. Could be first quarter, could be third quarter, could be fourth quarter. It's happened before. Usually, actually, I feel like it's the second quarter. But, man, my favorite 15 seconds of my day on a game day are those 15 seconds. My second pick in this snake is, and I told you I'm playing for the win here, game day brats are, there's nothing that slaps to me like a Wisconsin game day brat. Like, I didn't even understand these things existed when I got to Madison. I'm from Los Angeles, and a brat is not part of the culture in Los Angeles, California. But let me tell you, a brat is part of the Wisconsin culture. And when I'm just starving and I've eaten nothing all game day, and it's 11 a.m. and I woke up at 6, and maybe or maybe not had a shower beer. I'm just starving by halftime, right?
I think you just helped my case.
You get 6 hours in, though, and I'm just starving at halftime, and that brat absolutely smacks at the stadium. So I'm going Buttercup and brats, the two Bs, back to Ben.
All right, well, first, you have to consider price when you're talking about the brat. But I think we're going in completely different directions with this, where you could talk about the universal, you know, best tradition.
Oh, I got a third one that's very personal.
Which, you know, if you want to cater and if you want to win, go ahead. My number two, and this is my second favorite. This is literally in the rank in my head of what are my favorite traditions. And it might sound weird at first, but give me a second. It's being able to sit down at halftime where you
that is the softest answer I've ever
heard. No. Hey,
in the history of this show.
Where it's probably been either an early day, if it's an 11 a.m. game, or a long day, if it's a night game, you get to the game, you're standing the whole time.
Hey, on a Badger game, I got to drop this one. This is just tough.
No, here we're talking about and when you talk about that, you talk about the electricity you bring through the first two quarters. But then it's a beautiful refreshment to be able to sit down at halftime. You know, think about the game, maybe even have a brat. There you go. I'll give you that one. But okay, sitting down and that re-energizes you for the rest of the game when they're playing the Jump Around for everything. It's a very critical part of the game day that people don't really take into account. Moving on, my third, and this is really specific to the last 2 years, but it's been one of my favorites, is seeing every single person who's visited from the state of Michigan walk home, travel home, just completely disappointed.
That's
and dejected.
A homer. That is a homer pick right there. That is playing
where,
for the crowd. I love it.
Where they travel X distance, maybe from Michigan, from somewhere else. Maybe they live in Madison and they're a Michigan fan. I don't understand that one. But they come to the game. First of all, they come in with the attitude saying, yeah, you know, we're coming to Wisconsin. We're going to beat them in football and we're going to rub it in a little bit. And then at least the last couple of years when the Badgers have played them in Camp Randall, it hasn't been close. They've gone absolutely demolished. And seeing the dejected walk home, the disappointed walk home, has been one of my favorite game day traditions.
My third and final pick, this one's very personal to me. It's not a communal one, right? Like I went very communal. My first two, very, very generic. This one's very specific. My third pick is a combination, and I'm somehow going to find a way to get City Bar into this draft again.
I didn't see my goal.
I think it might be my goal every single draft to just find a way to
that lost you the last one.
It did. No, but City Bar is not going on like the draft card on this one when I post it on Twitter. It's not exactly a City Bar pick. So,
but if you're arguably combining it, I think it does.
Maybe. I get home, okay? I take the post-game day nap. The post-game day nap after the 11 a.m. kick. And when I wake up from the post-game day nap, it's a combination of post-game day nap smoothly into Pac-12 after dark. It is a beautiful thing to wake up at 8, 9 p.m., all in a daze. Turn on the TV. Boom, UCLA's already given up 50 points, and we're in the second quarter. That is my favorite part of a game day that does not involve
sitting down at halftime, in your words, is a lot less soft than having one of your favorite parts be watching Pac-12 after the game.
You're absolutely correct.
I'm talking about Badger football here.
At all. I can't refute that at all. But I'm a UCLA guy. So I take the game day app, and I wake up, and I watch UCLA lose by,
so it's your Saturday tradition.
Lose by 30 and give up 60. It's awesome. This was Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday. I don't know what we even got into in this episode. It was a lot. It was all over the place, but it was a lot of fun, Ben. I appreciate you coming on. The draft is here to stay. I like this segment.
Yeah. Yes, sir. 10 days away. Let's go.
As always on Wisconsin, Ben said it best, 10 days away.